The University Tower chimes, bringing another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with the University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my right, from my home department, chemistry and biochemistry, it's Professor Kendra Evans.
It is so good to be here.
It is. It feels good. It's the end of week 9. There's really only about a month of classes left, and the end can't come fast enough.
Not that we're counting.
I'm not counting at all.
Everyone's counting except you two.
I don't know if I would even say it's been a weird semester, but it's definitely been a weird semester.
Yeah, I'm definitely actually doing the ratio. 9/16. Yeah. I'm like, that's more than half.
9/16. Dan's doing the percentages.
So this
right
is
now.
The end of the 9th week.
That's
end
right.
End of the 9th week.
Well, congratulations. Yeah. You're over the hump.
That's yeah. right. That I feel like, sure. yeah. For me, once I get through our professional conference that we plan, that's next week.
Right.
The rest of the semester is downhill.
Oh, that's absolutely
and it's
true.
Beautiful.
In
absolutely
more ways than
true.
One, probably.
Right? probably.
Because you don't have. I mean, I have masses of papers to grade at the
no,
end.
No, I have those too.
Okay.
I have, manuscripts and stuff like that. I've got a lot with my class and with research lab. Right. Lots of manuscripts.
Oh, that's true. Lots to grade. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. It adds up. I still don't mind.
How is the term treating Professor Joe Abisett from the Department of Communication Studies?
It has been a good term.
Okay.
We've inevitably fallen behind. And
nothing wrong with that.
Well, the assignments start to pile up towards the end,
That's
which
true.
Is problematic. And then students tend to really dislike you even more. So
the honeymoon is over.
Yes, it is.
By week 9.
By week 10, they're burning you an effigy. Right.
Right. So we have some guest speakers lined up. We have an agency visit coming up.
Oh, cool.
So it's all kind of moving really fast, and I think it's important for students to get out of the classroom a little bit and to hear some other voices besides mine.
Of course.
So that's sort of the plan right now, but for the most part, it's going well. I'm teaching a seminar course for the first time on social media and communication.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Cool. Joe, you've had a good semester just in terms of, I'm thinking, news cycle, the things that are out there to talk about and stuff like that, right?
So. Yeah, there's the nice thing about the news cycle is something always happens to be in it that's relevant to what we're talking about.
That's right.
Either PR or in mass communication or whatever. So
right.
Plenty of examples and more to come, mm-hmm. especially on November 7th. We'll have quite a bit to talk
Gives
about, I think.
Excused absences for voting.
I don't teach on Tuesday.
Oh,
well,
it's exactly the opposite.
Give yourself an excuse, though.
Yes.
It really is going to be the most important election.
I did schedule a guest speaker to come in on November 7th.
Okay, so there you go.
Especially for my social media class, which is 2 hours and 50 minutes. Or 2.5 hours. It means
how not to use social media, the case of Donald Trump.
In the seminar, do they
use social media?
So I've created like a Tumblr blog, and I've asked them to do social media site review audits of various social media sites. And these aren't like Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. They're like ones very few people use in compared to Facebook. These social media sites might only have like 10 or 20 million people on them. Like Goodreads.
Yeah,
I don't know if anybody's ever heard that.
A
That's a social media site. Dig.
Yep.
Black Planet and so on.
Goodreads.
So they kind of evaluate it and make decisions about it that way.
Cool.
So
very cool.
Have you read a woman named Kara Swisher? She's
no.
editor of a magazine called Recode.
Mm.
She's done a lot of really cool. She's a columnist for the New York Times. She had a piece recently called, the headline was "Does Silicon Valley Need an Ethics Expert?"
Oh, interesting.
Do those companies need ethics experts? And she was on Bill Maher's Real Time, and she, was interviewed about Mark Zuckerberg, and the motto of move fast and break things.
Right.
And that their offices are built for like 12-year-old boys, with slides, and you have to talk to them using superhero language, like with great power comes great responsibility. And she said that quote came from Voltaire, and I'm like, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
I thought it was Ben Parker,
Parker's
uncle. Of course, they broke democracy, she went on to say. But.
Yeah, that's also true. Across the table from me, the great Professor Dave Chow is here from the great. College for Creative Studies.
When did I become great?
The College for Great
Studies. Well, nobody thinks that but Matt.
Okay.
No, you know, he did bring me some pork buns the other
day. By the way, did you finish them all?
Are you kidding?
Did they survive the night?
You could have counted the seconds back to walking to your home.
Wait, so did I at least make the corner and make
the
turn?
It's possible. It's possible. I'm out there mowing the lawn. First of all, the story at the Mayo house is I'm out there mowing the lawn, and Emmett is just leaving a trail of, like, toys in the lawn where I'm mowing. And I'm like, you know better to be doing this. And the second I'm, like, yelling at him to get this stuff out of the way, like, I hear... And I ran over the jump rope, which, of course, he was using as some sort of border, you know. And now it's all tangled in the thing. But a few minutes later, Dave shows up with a big, wonderful hot steam bag.
Mind you, they were hot
buns.
And steaming earlier, but you guys were at your son's...
Confirmation. Yes, we were at his confirmation.
Because I'm like, oh, there's an Amazon box on the front porch and no one's home. I guess I'll wait.
So. Yes, that was very nice of you to do so.
And but, you guys finished them. Okay, now here's a question.
We had them for
dinner.
You
have five in the family. I brought six over.
Oh, I got two buns.
Let's just be clear on that. Yeah.
Okay, just want to double check. That's all. I just want to make 100%. Sure that...
100%.
Okay. All right.
If you were Sheldon Cooper, that would have ruined your day.
Yeah, probably. Probably.
For those who watch
you,
Big
it's
Bang.
Okay. Michael will take that snippet and we will use it everywhere from here on out.
I know.
Right?
We should have drops on the show. Yeah. That'd be great.
I've
got two buns. Professor Dan Maggio is here with his first windbreaker.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Busy times.
Busy times.
We're heating up, yes.
That's right, getting ready for a whole bunch of competitions coming up in November.
Yeah, I need to start scheduling just some for fun visits around the metro area.
Yeah,
but I haven't had time to look into it.
Oh my gosh, so. I think that my 10-year-old, we just got the basketball schedule, and basically every night of the week, he's either robotics or basketball.
Right.
So, I mean, he loves it. So,
can't we combine the two?
Well, 1 year, the high school, to have done basketball before.
Real steel.
So, I have a similar story about the lawnmower. Mm. So, when I was selling my Focus a couple months ago, I had the mats. I was just about to sell it. I had the mats out cleaning them. They were drying in the driveway. And the lawn service pulled up next door. And I know the guys. I'm in my car cleaning out. Next thing I hear, I look out and my... Like the driver mat is like flying out of the floor.
Oh,
and I was
no.
And he was like, I'm so sorry. I said, you don't understand. I'm selling this car. These are the original mats. Oh, no. So he offered me like $50. I'm like, I'm not taking $50 for a mat.
Yeah.
I'll take $45.
See how reasonable
I took 20. I didn't buy the mat, so...
That's a fair price.
Anyway.
It is what
funny.
It is.
Yeah.
I like it.
Oh, come on.
Can't you see where you're going?
Got the WeatherTech action going on. All the way around the horn, we come to Professor Beth Oljar from the Department of Philosophy.
Good to be here.
Glad to have you. And you are counting down the days till the end of the semester, no matter what anybody else is doing. Is that what I heard?
Yeah.
Yeah, doesn't everybody?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Although I have four classes next term, so I don't know what
Yikes.
I'm happy about.
Oh,
but,
snap.
Well.
Yeah, that's...
One of them's symbolic logic, so it doesn't...
Oh, okay. All right. You can do that in your sleep, you know.
And I have
more than one
occasion, I'm pretty sure.
So what do you have? You probably have a section of intro.
Two sections of foundations of ethics.
And then
symbolic logic. But it's all Monday, Wednesday, Friday, which normally I teach 5 days a week. So not having to be here on Tuesday and Thursday will be kind of cool.
That'll
My cats
change
will
things.
Like it.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely.
Mommy will stay home.
Folks, this is a program where you can send us a question regarding anything or questions. If you stump the panel, you win a prize. And if you don't stump the panel, you can win a prize. You can send the questions to us in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/atp or find us on the Facebook. We got a contact without questions from Chris Bovitz of Lakeville, Minnesota. Greetings, professors. I'm listening to your episode 1905 pre-quiz conversation about hurricanes, and I thought I should write to you about it. I'm a meteorologist.
Oh.
Master's degree 1993, UW-Madison, with a lifelong interest in weather, meteorology, and climate. I revel in hearing and seeing strange weather as long as no one gets hurt. I've also chased tornadoes and hurricanes.
Oh, great.
My points for you are, number one, never open the windows during a hurricane or tornado to equalize the pressure. The difference in pressure between inside and outside, even in the eye or next to a tornado, is nowhere close enough to make a house explode. Don't open the windows. The hurricane will do that for you.
Okay.
The exploding, it seems, in the data that the building did after a hurricane or tornado is probably because the winds caused the roof to fly off, and then the outside walls losing that upper support actually fall down.
Sure.
Kind of interesting. Related to that, putting tape on the windows or opening windows will do nothing to stop a window from breaking. And frankly, it takes precious time away from doing more substantial preparation and getting to safety. Not that you talked about this, but I feel like mentioning it. I even saw it on an episode of Sesame Street a few years ago, and it still bothers me to think of that bad
advice. What was Grover busy taping windows?
Something like that.
Well, if the hurricane's coming, you have usually several days to prepare. I mean, in a tornado.
Usually.
I wouldn't
say,
oh, there's a tornado coming. Quick, get the tape, honey.
Well, and this is where this conversation ends up. Hurricanes are named, because we talked about that, to facilitate communication amongst various countries. It's easy to say Hurricane Lori, for example, and everyone involved knows what you're talking about. Tropical cyclones used to be named for feast or holidays on which they fell, such as the 1935 Labor Day hurricane and the 1928 San Felipe hurricane. The U.S. started with an organized naming scheme in 1953 with the letters of the World War II-style phonetic alphabet, then women's names. In 1979, they added men's names. When a hurricane is especially destructive or deadly, its name is removed from the naming list. Now, I did not know that until just this moment. I could go on, but you get all the information you want from the NOAA. Thanks for your attention, Chris Bovitz of Lakeville, Minnesota. Thanks for writing us. Chris, folks, you can send us stuff about your expertise, and we'll probably talk about it on the air, too. What can I say?
I would listen to a guy with a degree from UW-Madison.
I know.
That's right.
I once listened to a guy like that, too. Yeah. Go Badgers.
I think that's all we're going to hear from anyone.
That's where Steve Manning got his degree.
Huh?
That's where Steve Manning got his doctorate.
What do you know?
Yeah.
Okay, so these are our random question pool that we've always had for backup, but there's a bunch of cool ones coming up here, so I thought we'd actually start with that. Before we get to the Post-it is still here, ATP favorites. Kendra already did hers, so someone else is going to have to think of a favorite for the panel to share.
Favorite what?
Favorite whatever anything. You want. You have to think of a favorite to share.
Yeah, remember a couple weeks ago I had favorite foods?
Favorite foods, and then we talked and we all salivated, and I'm really hungry right now, and...
I'm not. Still applies.
President Jimmy Carter once removed a congressman from the Camp David invitation list. Why did he do so? Just heard something related to this the other day, and I found it fascinating.
Clothing? Clothing related?
Is not clothing related.
Position he has on a subject?
No.
Did he pass away on Camp David?
No.
Oh, remove the corpse.
No, not at all.
So it was an invitation to Camp David that was rescinded.
That essentially I'm not going to invite you anymore.
Oh.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Because the person asked not to be invited?
No.
Athletic differences.
He stole rolls of toilet paper.
Athletic differences, that's good.
Drinking? Drunkenness?
No, it was about a lifestyle that the congressperson
had. Oh, they were gay?
Nope, they weren't gay, but that's a good guess.
What, like a David Duke?
They particularly enjoyed dancing.
No, it says here. I mean, we're talking about the 1970s here. Is that fair to say?
They like disco bottoms.
The congressman was living with a woman, but he wasn't married to her.
Jeez.
And I find it absolutely fascinating because this historical information crossed my desk. Please don't ask how. It's more of a YouTube sort of thing. Where there was a time in French court of the 1600s where spending all your time with your spouse was scandal. And I just thought that was really funny in contrast to the way we look at it today. You know?
I'd like to think that's the benchmark of my relationship. You know? that we spend time away from one another.
Exactly. Well, I've learned that from my retired parents and retired in-laws. You guys should really find other things to do instead of yell at each other.
I think in the Victorian era, like in the 1800s, it was common for everybody to have like a mistress.
Right,
or
right.
It was a like hobby. Your wife would know who the mistress was. She'd come over for dinner.
Right.
Oh, that sounds awful.
That's what I mean. That was quite common.
It's just interesting. I just think it's interesting how social mores that we expect in our lifetimes to be, absolutes. There are no absolutes, right?
My grandmother referred to living with someone because all of us did that, lived with someone without being married to them. And my parents were like, yeah, we never would do that ourselves, but it's your life. Do it, mm-hmm. you yep. know. Yeah. So my grandmother would call, are you still shacking up with someone?
What a lovely term. What a
yes, Grandma.
Term.
Any of you heathens going to go to Mass with me? Probably heathen. Not.
Probably not. Not after that call. The theme song from the TV series Friends mm-hmm. lost the Emmy for main title theme music the first year it was on the air to the music from what TV show, Dan Maggio?
The 90s.
Star Trek?
It was Star Trek Voyager. Yeah.
No way.
The horn section is wonderful.
Absolutely.
That's the one with huh. Kate Mulgrew.
Yes. Kate Mulgrew, yeah.
Yeah, Janeway.
Drew's like, all of the best versions of Star Trek are the ones where the women are captains.
I actually like Voyager. So it's much better than Next Generation.
Well, but
the absolutely. Next Generation is cheesy.
Oh, I
the original
love
the first
Generation.
The first two seasons characters. Were kind of campy.
Good characters.
I like Picard, but a lot of the shows are just a little cheesy for me. Oh, but I like Voyager.
But nothing compares to the original.
Any when you have the Borg storylines, that's great.
Yeah, so that's pretty mean. Has anybody in this room seen the new ones at all? The Discovery ones?
No.
I figured am I the only one? To be you,
am I the
you
only guys. One who's seen
is
it?
Does that include the movies? Time. I've seen some newer movies, like 2009-ish yeah. maybe. Does that include those?
No,
that's kind of a
then reason. No.
I'm just curious what's going to happen with you heard Star Trek 4, they can't get Helmsworth and Chris Pine signed.
That's right. Too bad.
Anybody see the new Doctor Who?
That might be the main reason people were watching.
I have not yet. Now it's the first female Doctor Who, right?
Yeah, I'm backlogged 2 episodes. Okay. But I saw the first one, and it was pretty good.
Okay.
Pretty good.
Is there a companion?
It appears like she's got 3.
And are they male?
2 of them are.
Oh, interesting. So. Okay. Very cool. Well, this is very timely. If you attended the Baseball World Series in 2012... you would have paid $110 to $1,040 for a ticket to the game. 2012, that was 6 years ago.
Okay.
What would you have paid in 1946 to attend a World Series game?
$5.
Yeah.
It's quite a bit less than that.
$1.
Well, no, I'm talking 50 prime cents. Seats.
The low end here is $1.20 for a ticket to the World Series. The high end tickets were $6.25. So I guess
really
partial credit.
Wow.
However, if you enjoyed a hot dog and a beer in 2012... obviously, that would have been over $10 easily, right?
Mm-hmm.
What would you have paid in 1946?
50 cents.
50 cents, yes. 0.5 of a dollar is what it says here.
0.5 of a dollar. I like that.
Well, do people still use the 50 cent pieces?
Oh, it's a shilling. It's
they
a
do shilling. In second grade math.
They do it when you ask the professor coin problems.
You and your coin obsession, Dan.
A 2012 World Series program, now that's a keepsake right there. $15. That's not too bad, actually. But what would you have paid in 1946?
A quarter.
10 cents.
It was a quarter.
Quarter.
It was a quarter. Last but most certainly not least, the winning players get a bonus in 2012. Hold on a second.
How many diamonds on this
encrusted
ring? I'm going
to 10 minutes, and then I'm going to come back to finish asking the question. If your team won in 2012... your contract bonus was $380,000.
That's obscene.
What was the bonus in 1946? I'm trying to get this. It was not a cup of coffee.
$10?
It was not $10.
A jacket.
It was reasonable for 1946.
Okay. $500.
$500, yeah.
$250.
No, it's more than that.
A slap on the back.
$5,000.
It was $3,742.34.
That's actually a lot of money.
That's a lot of money
so
for
no
1946.
So no wonder they're so stressed out and crying.
Yeah.
They're like, wait, I just lost $380,000. That is devastating.
That would make me cry.
Oh yeah.
Gosh. Heck, I'd there's cry a losing
share, too. Losers get money.
Yeah, losers probably get like 120 or something.
They might get like around 200,000.
Yeah, still, that's not bad. Yeah.
They don't care anymore, athletes.
At that point... yeah. It's kind of like we were discussing, like, hitting the billion-dollar lottery. It's like, you know, there's a certain point when the numbers don't even matter anymore. Yeah. So much money. So
so weird.
$1.6 billion. Yeah.
Hey, but I've been bringing up, and actually I was thinking of you, Joe. I won't mention them here, but my favorite sports radio guys in the Detroit area, they're pointing out the rock-solid cash value of that prize was $900 million. Basically, you could just take that all in. Mm-hmm. That was not enough to purchase any modern American sports franchise. You would need more
to be able to buy even the worst NHL team or NBA team.
You mean like the Wings right now?
That's so disturbing that I couldn't wrap my head around it. $900 million.
You'd have investors with you.
Yeah, of course you would.
But you'd be the primary big player. Oh, did you hear about, you know, our beloved certain hockey team downtown?
Yes.
The sponsorship that got changed?
Yeah, I heard about that.
Arby's? Curly fries?
Yeah.
Okay, it used to be if the Wings scored a hat trick, you got curly fries. Mm-hmm. Now it's the Wings total score 3 goals, you get curly fries.
Oh, wow.
Not just one player.
Oh, it's going to be if the players show up to the game soon.
They've lowered the standard.
And while we think about that standard, we'll take a break.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback.
I'm your host, Edwin DeWitt, and today we have almost all the regular panel with us. On my right, from the Department of Religious Studies, Professor George Pickering.
Hey, man. Pleasure to be here, as always.
Wow. That's the first variation in decades, yeah. I think.
Oh, no, I've been working up to it.
Okay, all right.
First the mustache, then pleasure to be here. What's next?
Yes. And as always. On his right, the woman he can't keep his hands off, the Department of English, Professor Claire Crabtree.
What can I say to follow that up?
I don't know.
Hello.
Say it was okay.
Yeah.
There are people out there waiting to hear.
Was it good for you?
And on Claire's right, from the Department of History.
I don't know any of you.
Professor Sarah Gravel. And on Sarah's right, from the Department of English, also Professor Hugh Kulig.
Well, I will just say hello and leave it at that.
I think that's the wisest
thing. You've done enough
thing.
Damage. It was because of you that we were whispering.
Oh.
These were quotations, and you were to guess who said them. Who said, "Never lend your car to anyone to whom you have given birth."
Irma Bombeck.
Yes, Irma Bombeck, exactly. Philip Roth is a good writer, but I wouldn't want to shake hands with him. Who said that?
Somebody after putting his complaint.
Exactly. and who was it? It was a woman.
Figures it would be a woman.
A writer. A writer of schlock, basically, now deceased. I was going to say one of her novels was just reproduced by a computer, or a new novel.
Somebody's writing in the style of. Yeah, you can call it style.
Exactly.
Well, she's not known to have shaken hands with anybody.
No.
And we're back with some great questions supplied to us by Anonymous, and every once in a while we'll dip into them and see what we could do here. One more baseball question before we put the pressure on Professor Maggio to come up with a favorite. The New York Yankees have often been in the baseball World Series. That is a true statement.
Too much.
What numerical oddity marks their winning years, Professor Joe Abbasett?
What numerical oddity?
Yes, marks their winning years.
What they only win in like odd years or even years or something?
Say prime.
Prime.
They win in years.
Oh, they've no.
Once a decade? Once every 5 years?
They've won in every decade except the 80s.
I mean, that's sort of part of what's here. So this numerical oddity is they won every 20 years on the eights since 1938, which is freaky,
really?
Man. So they won...
58, 78, is that what they won?
78 and 98. Like, that's how far the pattern goes.
Oh,
that's
so
creepy.
But this year, they're...
They are out. They are out.
Doesn't fit.
The Detroit Tigers, the Boston Red Sox, since they have all the ex-Tigers players that were really good.
I was just in New Hampshire this past week, and
I bet they were cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
They're pretty happy up there.
I flew into Boston a week ago, which is why we couldn't record, on the Thursday night, which would have been the night they won the pennant in Houston, and you would have thought that the Red Sox were walking down the streets of Boston, and they were in the
good
sauce.
For them.
It's a good excuse for a thirsty Thursday, as my undergrad colleagues would have said.
Bostonians need one of those.
Like, they need another excuse.
More drinking. Let's go do it again.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so we're going to take a mini not break to do something different. And we had a suggestion that was given by my son many, many months ago saying the prof should answer a question about favorites, but it should be generated on the show by one of the profs. So we've done food. I think we've done a couple other travel. That was the other thing. If you could go anywhere, where would you go? So all we need you to do, Dan, is come up with a favorite.
No pressure.
And we'll go around the horn and see what people have to say about it.
So what's your favorite item on your bucket list?
That presupposes we have...
Can we let that simmer for a few?
You could let it simmer. You want to simmer.
I think we all...
While I make a bucket list.
Okay, that's a good one.
Yeah. Or we don't, she's making the
list.
You
have to call it a bucket list. You can call it a list of things that you really want to do.
Yeah, that's fair.
It doesn't have to be like a list where you check off everything, right? Dan, just kind of like a wish list.
Yeah, wish list. So what were you going to say, Dave?
Oh, my wish list? I still want to go snowboard Mount Cook on my birthday.
Does it have to be on your birthday?
Yeah, June the 6th.
Oh.
That's my birthday.
It is?
Yeah. Are you
You're a D-Day baby?
I'm June 6th, yeah.
Oh, my God.
You're not born in 66, are you?
No.
Oh, okay.
Isn't that D-Day, by the way?
It is.
6-6-66? Yeah. For real?
I am not. I'm 65.
That is so cool.
I am 65.
Oh, you're slightly younger than me.
Slightly. If I was born 1 year later, I would probably have kids in elementary school shaving me bald looking for the mark of the beast.
So. Oh my goodness.
Well, that actually is something we're planning to do next week, Dave.
Oh, great, lovely.
Oh my God.
I'm going to be turned into a reptile live on the show.
That's right. Mount Cook on your birthday, so you can say that you snowboarded in June.
Yes.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, but then I have to go to New Zealand to do it. I was going to do that for my 30th, which I never did.
Well, you got some catch up.
You could just go to Colorado.
Why?
That might be.
No, I need to go. I want something a little more exotic for my snowboard adventure.
Okay. Who wants to go next? Bucket list.
Kendra?
skip right over.
I haven't thought of it.
I would like to run a marathon.
Oh, like a full marathon.
The full marathon.
13.2 miles.
26.2.
26, yeah.
I would like to round down to 13, though.
Half marathon. I'm already dialing it back in my mind. Like, can I watch you run this marathon? As long as I don't have to participate. That does sound like, well, how about I ask you this? Is there like a city whose marathon is really well known, New York, Boston, that you want to do, or you would just do like the Detroit marathon?
Maybe I'd just do the Detroit. I did the half once here. It was fun. It was a long time ago. Yeah. Maybe one other one sometime.
What, you mean like the Clausen marathon isn't enough for you anymore?
Any marathon would cross this off my list, and then I would buy one of those stickers for my car.
Oh my gosh.
I do have a sticker that is a pint-sized marathon. 2.62, and I think that would be awesome. My car, for some reason, I'm like, that's so good they gave us this, but I feel like a little weird about putting that on my car.
Didn't they also have some like anti-marathon things a couple years back?
I was just about to say, I always laugh when I see the 0.0.
Oh, I love that one. Yes,
that that's my style.
Fun and run do not belong in the same sentence.
Well, it depends what you're running to.
You could walk fast.
Yeah.
You know, I've mentioned it before on the show that there's just one thing that I've always wanted to do that I can't do until I retire or take a sabbatical or something. I just want to drive up to northern Maine in mid-September and then just slowly eke my way through New England as the colors change.
And you want to be a leaf peeper?
A leaf peeper. I mean, I can do that. Whoa. Excuse me. I can do that in the state of Michigan, but that's the one that's on my bucket list, so... I guess the time has come to say goodbye because there was a buzzing sound. So we'll say goodbye in this order. Professor Beth Oljar.
Goodbye.
Professor Dan Maggio.
Minus skydiving.
Oh, my
Professor
goodness.
Dave Chow.
See ya.
Professor Joe Abbasid.
Take care.
Professor Kendra Evans.
Have a good one.
And now these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu. Tweet to us on Twitter @AskTheProfessor or using the hashtag AskTheProfessorUDM or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the facilities of the Briggs Building in the Department of Communication Studies and the College of Liberal Arts and Education at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced and directed today by Michael Jason, and our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.